Hi. As the name of the podcast suggests, I connect a lot of topics together in the service of growing the practice of psychotherapy. As the number of episodes grows, it occurred to me that I could offer you a way to organize the episodes. So I've created playlists. Playlists are compilations of all the episodes on one topic. If you'd like to try this out, there is a link in the show notes to the playlist page, where you will find the categories, and then you click on the category you're interested in, and you'll see all the episodes on that topic. I hope you enjoy it. While you're there, you could sign up for the newsletter if you like. Those come out weekly and are a great way for us to stay in touch, and for you to keep up to date about the podcast and additional events. Hello, and thank you for joining the Connection Therapy Podcast. This is a podcast about the craft of psychotherapy, and we seek to support those who strive to improve their craft by sharing research about the science and stories about the art of psychology. Together, we will explore these findings so you can decide how you want to apply them to benefit your practice. In different environments, when I've been working with horses therapeutically, in equine-assisted services or other environments, people sometimes joke that they're nervous to greet the horse for the first time because they're worried that the horse can smell their fear. Typically, when you greet a horse, you're asked to extend your hand so the horse can sniff you. And this is when this conversation usually comes up. And up to now, I've always laughed that off. Yeah. Well, I have some research today that shows there might be some truth to that. I know, it makes me nervous too. And it's even worse. It might not be restricted to just horses that can smell us, but dogs, of course, and maybe other humans too. And this might be one way that the environment in these healing encounters has even more factors for us to consider as to what is actually happening in these therapeutic exchanges. In recent episodes, I've been reviewing many ways in how the human-animal connection affects the healing encounter and what we can learn about the exchanges between humans and animals, specifically horses, in terms of physiological synchrony in their heart rate variability and other factors, trying to understand more about why people report this style of therapeutic intervention to be so successful in order to do two things. One, to learn more about equine-assisted services and how to repeat them in a way that is the most effective and really understand why and how that can happen. And the second is to consider working with animals almost like another language, such that when we learn a second language, often we get better at the first one. For me, when I learned French, I became a better English speaker. That was in part because my French teacher was incredible, but also it helped me learn more about the language itself. So my suggestion is that we take what we are learning in the interactions with humans and horses, and even for mental health therapists who don't work in that modality, you can take these findings and apply them to your in-office settings. So in today's episode, I'm going to review a study called Inter and Intra-Species Communication of Emotion, Chemo Signals as the Neglected Medium. Again, it's out of this group from Pisa, Italy, and I found it because I was looking for different ways that they have designed their studies. And I just could not pass it up, even though I might like to, because this study makes me self-conscious as well. Well, I speak for myself. Maybe you're not bothered by it. But what it suggests is that one possibility of the emotional transfer that we think is occurring in animal-assisted therapies could be that the dogs and horses that we typically involve in these styles of therapy can sense the human body odors and behave in a way that is in response to that smell that they can pick up, or have their own physiological reaction that is similar to that of the humans. So I'll explain two ways that in this study they're summarizing two different studies, one with dogs and one with horses. First, though, let me state the last names of the first three authors, and they are Simon, Scandura, and Barigli. And this study is published, or this journal article is published in the journal called Animals, and it was published in October 2019. And let me explain a little bit more about that title, Inter and Intraspecies Communication of Emotion, Chemosignals as the Neglected Medium. So what they're suggesting in their title is that human body odors contain something called chemosignals. As I understand, it's like a component of the human body odor. And they're suggesting that this ability for animals to pick up the chemosignals in odors may be a neglected medium or way for communication of emotion to occur between species and within species. That's the inter and intraspecies. So they're suggesting that we need to take another look at smell as a potential way of how our emotional states are being communicated within and across species. So they have two setups here. One is where they have a group of 40 retrievers, Labrador and Golden, were exposed to odors from humans that they obtained. And they didn't explain specifically how they obtained the odors in this study, but in other studies I've read that similarly study human odors, those are obtained by things like having the humans watch different movies and then taking samples of their sweat, where some of the movies are intended to encourage happy emotions, some fear emotions, and then some neutral ones for control. And they had the dogs just in a room with the vial that had the smell in it. And then two chairs, one for their owner to sit and one for a researcher whom they had not met prior to the study. And what they noticed is when the happy vial was there for the dogs to smell, the dogs displayed behaviors that were more social, like they were curious about the researcher and interacting with the unknown person. But when the fear vial was in the room, the dogs went to their owner, which the study authors surmised that could be something they would do if they were stressed and needing support from their owner. The second study was similar, where they had horses exposed to happiness and fear odors. And they caveat that these results from the second study are preliminary and they're inviting replication here. And just a side note, what that means is that when research is done well, it's the one reason these articles are so difficult to read is because the researchers are wanting to present their findings in a way that other researchers can replicate them, because the idea is that you want to take out as much bias in the studies as possible. So you, in writing up the results, you explain all the different ways that you looked at the phenomena and how you designed it and why you interpreted the results the way you did. And you lay out those steps in such specificity that someone else could try the study again to see if they come up with the same results. So the idea is it gets a bigger body of data that can be relied on with more confidence if the results continue to yield similar conclusions from different researchers. So they're inviting replication on this study, but what they found from their preliminary view is that when the horses were exposed to these different happiness and fear odors, their sympathetic and parasympathetic changes to their nervous systems went in the same direction that the human anatomic nervous system signals would go. So, in other words, if the human sympathetic nervous system was activated, so too would the horse, just by smelling what was in the vial. So incredible. Another important factor here, just to add in, is from Dr. Janet Jones. She taught cognitive science at UCLA for many years before she started using her expertise to also consider the interaction between not just human brains, but human and horse brains. And she's got a really interesting book called Horse Brain, Human Brain, The Neuroscience of Horsemanship. And in this, she's trying to help humans understand their horses better by understanding the horse's experience of smell. And she highlights that horses have multiple ways that they can pick up smells, both at the edge of their noses and all the way up the nasal passages is a second area where they have another possibility to process smells. So she's mentioning that, in fact, they can smell everything we think they can. And the smells that they obtain, they remember them for a long time, which is how horses can seem to feel like they're responding to you in a familiar way, even if you hadn't seen them in a while. There's reason to believe that is accurate. What she's also describing here is an empathetic view into why smell is so integral to the horse's learning experience, and really a lot of encouragement to not only let horses smell, but, you know, design environments and interactions that allow for that need to be met, because they really are processing the world more predominantly through their sense of smell. So she's reminding us here how important it is that we think about their needs when we consider working with them in all the environments we do. But I would add to this podcast this information because I think it's really important to consider this in terms of our work with them in equine assisted services. To summarize this in some of the earlier podcast episodes, the bottom line here is that we're just learning so many ways that our unconscious and unintentional, and in this case, outside of our control, reactions to our environment communicate something to the other beings in that environment, whether we planned for it or not. And for me, this is kind of humbling. That's why I was sort of joking at the top that this topic, I had seen this in the list of articles by this group, and I kept telling myself that I wasn't going to look further at this idea of smell being so important in terms of communication, because I was concerned about the ability to feel self-conscious with it. But I don't think that really serves me in my work to pretend like it's not there. So that's why we're having this episode, and I invite your considerations as well. And in the next episode, I'm going to talk about how we can get back to Winnicott's idea of a good enough therapist who behaves in a way that is good enough, and in this case, who smells in a way that is good enough to figure out how to do therapy, both with the assistance of animals and individually in office therapy sessions that can be effective despite all these ways that we may or may not be intending to interact. Because to me, this is just incredible. So we have these vials of human smells, and the dogs in one experiment are acting differently, and that's the only thing that's different from one environment to the next are the smells in the room. And we also have the horses displaying autonomic nervous system activity in tandem with the way the human was feeling at the time the smells were taken and put into these vials. And so I just think that's fascinating, that there's this whole other layer, and that's why the title of this article is what it is, this idea of chemo signals as the neglected medium, where, as a reminder, chemo signals are contained in the body odors of humans. And it's just a, as I understand this article, it's like a one of the components of body odors are something called chemo signals. And that's what can be picked up by the dogs and horses. And so there's this invisible thing that humans, actually, they're referencing some studies that show that humans can pick this up as well. So these unconscious things are happening and literally like floating around the room and causing different emotional states, or at least correlating to, well, no, we can say causing, especially in the dog example. And the reason you can do that is they've added what's called the treatment in this case, added the idea of bringing in the odors and then watching the resulting behaviors. That's more of what's called an experimental method, which means you can use the word cause instead of just correlate. So we're seeing these reactions in the dogs and the horses occurring as a result of smells entering the room. I just think that's so humbling, and it makes me kind of, you know, consider all the ways that I have not known why a particular treatment session went well or didn't go as well as I had hoped and maybe as I had felt or planned, and thought that I was intervening in a way that would have worked out differently. Just this humbling idea of how many things affect the treatment encounter is really the journey we've been on these last few episodes to open up that discussion and get a fuller picture of what's happening in the treatment encounter. I hope you'll join us again for future explorations in the field of psychology. And if you'd like to take a step further, there are additional ways to obtain more education and support on our website, connectiontherapypodcast.com. While there, you will find information about the authors and studies featured in the podcast episodes. Also, you will see a schedule of live trainings I offer on the topics featured in the podcast. And you will find information about the Connection Community, a growing group of mental health clinicians dedicated to the study and practice of psychotherapy. Please check out our website, connectiontherapypodcast.com, to learn more. Thanks. Until next time.